What would you say you do here?
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day. Monday, Monday, sometimes it just turns out that way. Oh, Monday morning, you gave me no warning of what was to be. Oh, Monday, Monday, how could you leave and not take me?
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand it? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Every other day of the week is fine, yeah. But whenever Monday comes,
if you care about the mental well-being of your morning show host, you will let me have the first couple minutes to rant.
Here, hold on. Let me just wait. All right, go ahead.
Appreciate that. Welcome to the Deer Hunters Roundup, everybody.
It's watermelon, sparkling water.
So several years back, the Minnesota Vikings made it to the NFC Championship game with a quarterback by the name of Case Keenum.
Yeah. And then?
Following that season, the Minnesota Vikings decided that wasn't good enough.
Notice he said nothing about how that season actually ended, but continue.
So Case Keenum was out. He's not good enough. He can't do it. Last year, the Vikings were 14-3, I believe it was, with a young man by the name of Sam Darnold. And in the end of the season,
with a womp womp,
they decided he was not the man. He was not the man. A total of like 26 wins in two seasons. And they decided, the quarterback's the problem. He's not good enough. So yesterday, in the debacle that was the Viking quarterback situation and Carson Wentz having stage fright yesterday for the Vikings and just missing. The Vikings go down to defeat. I will say this about my Minnesota Vikings, that they got 5 turnovers in one game versus Cincinnati. Other than that, the turnovers have been 10 to the negative, 2 to the positive. So when you're 10-2 in turnovers over a 5-game stretch, you probably shouldn't win any of them.
So you're losing games.
So for the Vikings to be 3-3 is as a Viking fan, you feel pretty good about that, considering the turnovers have been absolutely horrible. So the Vikings are. And one final thing here, I wanted to play this because when I thought of this clip right here, when I thought of the Vikings, they have the ability to develop quarterbacks, to develop and have them, but they just don't have the ability to hang on to them.
So you know how to take the reservation, you just don't know how to hold the reservation. And that's really the most important part of the reservation, the holding.
That's one of the most classic Seinfeld parts when he goes to the rental counter to get his car and they say, oh, we don't have a car for you, we're all sold out. And you say, well, I had a reservation. Yes, you did, but we're out of cars. Well, You missed the most important, and the Vikings are missing the most important part of it. They're gathering the quarterbacks. They had a room full of quarterbacks last year. They gathered them all, but then when the season was over, they couldn't lock the door. They couldn't hold on to them, and Daniel Jones is rated 2 in the NFL in quarterback rating, and Sam Darnold is rated number 3 in the NFL in quarterback rating, and J.J. Wentz is rated number 26, and what did I say at the beginning of the season? I told my listeners that if the Vikings, J.J. McCarthy, finishes in the top 10 in quarterback rankings, that the Vikings will be a Super Bowl team. If he finishes 10-20, they'll be a borderline playoff team. 20-30, they're not going to make the playoffs. Well, he's 20. Carson Wentz is 26, not J.J. McCarthy.
Well, and the question is, yeah. Is J.J. McCarthy going to play a third game?
I think he's going to play this Thursday.
I mean, like that.
Yeah, I think he's. I think they're going to throw him out there.
See, I think what Carson Wentz has been going through is a real thing. I think it's a phenomenon. I think it's a psychological thing. I think that some people, you know, I think each of us can probably imagine it. Imagine that you have been counted out. People don't believe in you anymore. Mm-hmm. And suddenly you get this idea, hey, something happens, you might get another opportunity. Cool. So imagine you've been waiting in the wings for a couple of years, and suddenly there's light at the end of the tunnel. You are going to give your all. You know, you are going to bust through that crack and make it the biggest wide open hole into the truth. You know, I want to show what I'm really about. Cool. And Carson Wentz did that a couple weeks ago. Was it all that impressive? Was it Patrick Mahomes level performance? No, but Carson Wentz performed a couple weeks ago well enough to say, hey, if McCarthy's back, we might still have a question.
Right.
But when the conversation continues in that vein and becomes, okay, we're going to start you with one more week, can you maintain it?
Yes.
Oh, and Carson Wentz has already proven that, no, by and large, he can't. He can get it moving, but since that knee injury, I think it was his second year as a starter,
right.
He couldn't maintain it.
He's bounced to a lot of different teams,
yeah.
And there's a reason why. He has his moments, but he's inconsistent. He's a good backup quarterback in the NFL.
I think it's psychology, though. He's proven so many, and it's Ryan Fitzpatrick comes to mind. You know, you play well enough as a backup to earn a starting job, then when they rely on you to be that starter, you stink.
Yeah.
And so you end up as a backup again, and then you end up having to play because someone gets injured, and you play so well, you earn another starting job. Rinse and repeat, and suddenly, Ryan Fitzpatrick played for 8 NFL teams, and 6 of their quarterbacks got hurt.
Well, like, let me ask you this question: yesterday, going into that final decision by the Packers to go for it on 4th down, not knowing what happened, all right, you don't know what happened on that 4th down play. At that very moment, were you like, "What are we doing here?" Or were you like, "Yeah, let's go for it"?
I generally like the mentality, but not with Green Bay. The Packers going for it is not great. Our 3rd down conversions yesterday were garbage. I think they were like 2 for 7 around that time. And I'll tell you what, while I do generally like the mentality of going for it in that game scenario, Matt LaFleur going for it doesn't make me confident.
Shocked me.
Yeah.
It shocked me. I didn't think they're going to snap it. The play clock got down to like 2 or 3, and I was convinced they're not snapping this. They're trying to pull, and they snapped the ball, and my gut just kind of went boom, just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, there's the game.
They're going for it.
That was, I mean, and I love that. I love the Dan Campbell-ness of that, but Matt LaFleur has not shown me that he wins games when he does stuff like that. And I'm not saying that he should have played conservatively. That's not necessarily better, but yeah, I mean, It was an interesting day. By the way, did you see that the largest comeback of all time was almost unseated yesterday?
Denver was down, what, there was 19-0 early. Was it 33 points they were down at one point?
So they weren't down 33 points. They scored 33 in the fourth quarter. That's the most points ever by a team with nothing coming into the fourth.
Yeah.
And you know people left at the end of the third. You know Broncos fans gave up. They scored 33 points in a quarter yesterday. What?
And they were showing on ESPN this morning the defensive structure of the Giants on the final play that put Denver in field goal range, and the Giants literally had 8 defensive backs in like an oval in a circle in the middle of the field.
Yep.
And a couple of them forgot to find out where the ball was. They kind of looked at the receiver, and the ball just kind of went right by him and dropped into the receiver's hands.
Well, I mean, at least in normal formations, like, yeah, you can basically put out anybody on your defense that you want within certain reason, but like actual normal defensive formations in the playbook, there's usually no more than 6 defensive backs, aka 6 guys who could intercept or defend a pass. And so you've got, if you're dropping 8 guys into coverage, chances are you've got at least 2 who never do that out there doing that. Or you could, of course, just get rid of 2 linebackers. Like, you can get 8 defensive backs onto the field, but I don't know if that's even what happened. And even if you could, at that point, I'm just going to hand the ball off to an offensive lineman and let him run through all of you. Get 8 of you. He'll just keep moving. So it just, yeah.
Well, the NFC is I mentioned this morning, I predict it's going to be one of the craziest finishes, I think, at the end of the season in the NFC, because you literally have like 13 teams that you could make an argument that will be in the hunt at the end of the season for the playoffs, for a playoff spot, all the way down to Washington at 3-4, although they've got some injury issues now. But when you look at the strength of the NFC, the Packers are 4-1-1. There's a possibility that they lose next week and they could be the 8 seed. You know, they could be 4-2-1 and be the 8 seed next week.
It's pretty well. Yeah, the NFC is now what the league was like 5 or 6 years ago, where we had some good AFC teams, some good NFC teams. Mm-hmm. For a long time, though, the AFC was the power conference, and
because of that,
the NFC gets different draft capital and they get different incentives to hire coaches and things like that. So it will probably bounce back to the AFC within the next 20 or 30 years.
I mean, literally, the NFC. I think 15 of the 16 teams in the NFC still have a shot. Because I think the Giants with Jackson Dart could go on a little bit of a run. They could be there. Arizona is not a bad team, although with a backup quarterback, maybe you count Arizona and New Orleans out. But in the AFC, I announced this morning, 7 teams are out of the playoffs, folks. There's 9 teams going for 7 spots in the AFC, and we're only in week 8. Mm-hmm. That's it. I mean, take the Jets, take the Titans, take the Dolphins. They're going to fire their coach this week. Take the Ravens, take the Browns, take the Raiders. Nice defensive performance, by the way. The Texans, take the Bengals. All they're just maybe not the Bengals, but toss them out. There's 9 of them for 7. That's it.
Yeah, when I saw the Browns put up a 30 burger in a shutout, I was like, against the Dolphins. Okay, never mind.
Dolphins got problems. They got big problems.
Dolphins, Jets, Jaguars, Browns.
Yeah. Blech. But 4-1-1. I mean, the Packers sitting at 4-1-1. You got to feel pretty good. But when you think about, I was thinking this morning about who is a team or two that I'm thinking right now is still, I think, the favorite to win the NFC, to win the AFC, to be in the Super Bowl. And I'm still going to go back to the Eagles and the Chiefs right now, because the Eagles did this last year. They struggled early.
Yep.
And then they kicked it in the middle of the year. And Jalen Hurts, he is not a flashy quarterback, but you know what? He gets it. He gets what it takes to win. He waits for opportunities, isn't making stupid plays, had 3 deep balls yesterday, all on plays that he just was very patient on, threw the ball up in the air, and you know what he did? He threw the ball up in the air, and it gave his receiver a chance to catch it.
Yep.
How many times with Justin Jefferson and the Vikings and other top receivers, you see quarterbacks throw the ball only where the receiver can get it, high into the outside? No, when you got a guy like Jefferson and some of these top receivers, and maybe Matthew Golden will develop into that, give him a chance to catch the ball.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, and that's, you know, Jordan had that problem. He would go a little risky when the receiver wasn't the right guy or wasn't ready for it. This year, though, especially in the first couple games of the season when he was missing his throws, he was missing them safely. That was something I even mentioned about it. And I mentioned that as a sign that Jordan is playing pretty darn well. Well, turns out that he's having one of his best seasons ever. Actually, going into last night's game, I'm not sure he maintained it, but passer rating, yards per game, touchdown interception ratio, all career highs through 6 weeks. So Love is on fire. And you're right, it comes down to whether those receiving options around him. Tucker Kraft is loving Tucker Kraft this year, but we need Romeo Doubs to not just have 1-3 touchdown game and then disappear. We need Matthew Golden to pick up the slack. Christian Watson is going to be on the field soon, or should be, otherwise he won't be able to play this year. So with Christian Watson out on the field, we'll have a version of this offense that has never existed. Matt LaFleur has never had 2 blow the top off threats like that. You're basically going to see, with Watson and Golden both on the field, I expect to see either press man that those guys are going to beat every time because the defensive coordinators are foolish to call it and they've got the speed, or you're going to see 2 high safety coverages everywhere, which might not matter much, but it always does mean an easier run fit. When you've got passing options like Watson and Golden that fast at the same time, mm-hmm. Josh Jacobs has a better game.
Yeah.
So our offense will thrive, I feel, when we get Reed back and or Watson to pair with Golden on the outside.
Yeah, and there's you listen to the wine line after the game, and there's fans just go off on whatever, different tangents. But the bottom line is it's turnovers. I mean, if you do not turn the ball over, you will probably have a chance at the end of the game to win the game if you don't turn it over.
Right.
Don't throw a pick and don't fumble. The Packers this year have 2 interceptions, and they've lost 1 fumble by a wide receiver. Not by a running back. The running back, there's been one fumble and none lost this year so far. And interceptions, there's been, the receiver had one fumble. So that's six games, and you have you have three turnovers.
Yeah.
In six games. That usually will keep you competitive in games. Could the Packers very easily be 2-3-1 right now? Yeah, they could be. But you know what? The lack of turnovers gave you a chance, and they got it, and they got the games. The Vikings, on the other hand, other than the one game, 10 turnovers, two takeaways, they had five turnovers in that Bengal game. That was just an anomaly. I'm not saying you can totally control it, but you can control yourself and what you do turnover-wise. You can't control the takeaways. People will say, we want takeaways. We got to get takeaways. Well, that's fine. That all sounds good. But there's a little bit of an element of luck in that, too, in turnovers, in a tip ball, in an interception, and a fumble. You can say all you want. We got to turn them over. Well, there's just a little bit of luck in that. But yourself taking care of the ball, to me, that's not luck.
Right.
That's just discipline.
Well, luck, I heard a definition once for luck, and it stuck with me, and I love it. Luck is where preparation meets opportunity. You can control the preparation. You can't control the opportunity. So that's what I choose to believe teams mean. You know, I don't think like we need to, and not to disagree with you, but I don't think when teams say we need to turn it over, I don't think they mean we need to make an interception out of thin air. What I think they mean is we need to be paying attention and putting ourselves in positions
pressuring
to capitalize
the quarterback,
on what opportunities may arise. Like, that basically means you follow your assignment, and yes, I bleeped myself there. Like, you follow that assignment, because if Micah Parsons follows his assignment, then Jacoby Brissett makes more mistakes and Keyshawn Nixon has more opportunities. If the pass rush gets home, then everybody else gets to feast, you know. And that's what I think that means, is just do your job. That's another way of saying do your job, and it's a goal that you can set that will prove the job got done. You can't force three. You can't get three turnovers by accident. That's guys doing the right thing, playing well. Okay, maybe you actually can. I'll qualify that. You can get some pretty like that ricochet catch, that tight end touchdown yesterday in the Giants game. Mm-hmm. That was an immaculate reception level. Whoops, here I am. Here's the ball. But like you can't maintain that.
Right. But it's like it's kind of like when you're driving a car. All right. If you drive your car in a 55-mile-an-hour speed zone and you consistently go 70 miles an hour, eventually you're going to get pulled over.
Right.
It may not be today, tomorrow, might not even be next month, but eventually you'll get pulled over. All right? If the quarterback drops back to pass and the defensive lineman gets his hand up and occasionally tips a ball, you may not get an interception this week. You may not get an interception next week, but eventually that tip ball will end up in your guy's hands for a pick six. So it's that doing the risk and the reward of doing things correctly or dangerously. It doesn't necessarily happen like that or all the time, but eventually it'll happen.
Yeah, and that's what a system is. A system is how 11 guys doing their job, individual and in participation with each other, turns into team success. You know, that's what makes a good coach. Can I, first of all, get 11 guys to do their job? Cool, that's one battle. Now, can I turn 11 guys doing their job into beating the other 11 guys doing their job, you know?
Yeah, I think that's what makes the NFL so much fun to watch, is there's so many different people that can screw it up.
Yes.
Because you've got 11 offense, 11 defense. Generally, not all 11 are different on special teams, but the kick team and the punt return team and the kick team. And you got 40 to 45 players that are probably actively involved in the day's events. And if one of those decides to have a boneheaded moment, all of a sudden the day gets really interesting.
And the game is lost. I was thinking about that yesterday as the Packers took the lead and they were trying to stave off that last Cardinals drive. And I watched, for some reason, it hit me as the Packers defensive line got up to the line of scrimmage. I watched a guy put his hand in the dirt. I watched him set his hips. I watched him wiggle his foot a little bit. And for some reason, it occurred to me, I was like, man, I hope that guy's having a good day. Because, like, if he's not, this game might end because of somebody running right past him. And I don't know why I had that thought, Joel, but it's like, yeah, that's why it's so fun, is because one person making one tiny mistake could be the Hoover Dam. Mm-hmm. Just gone.
Exactly. Part two of the Gray Area on the other side, we'll talk a little bit about the Brewers, and we'll talk about the most horrifying day that any child gets to experience in school, what that might be. The news is next year. More of the Gray Area coming up.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Some sites are back up and some users are still reporting site and app outages after Amazon Web Services crashed overnight due to a problem in a data center in Northern Virginia. They're working on it. At first, French officials said the Louvre would reopen today, but it remains closed as the investigation goes on into the brazen robbery. Several people disguised as construction workers broke into the museum Sunday, making off with centuries-old jewels.
The thieves look to have dropped a blowtorch, the power tools they used to get in, gloves. Forensics experts are going to be poring over those items to find any clues to make sure they find these items before they disappear forever.
ABC's James Longman in Paris. President Trump doubling down on his threat to cut off U.S. aid to Colombia after the president there, Gustavo Petro, accused the U.S. of murdering innocent fishermen in the Caribbean. The White House says it was targeting drug dealers. 7 million people showing up nationwide this weekend for No Kings rallies and marches against the Trump administration. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Austin Bermain. Here's what Northern Wisconsin needs to know. Civic Media News is brought to you by Minocqua Chevrolet, your hometown Chevy dealer, now 100% locally owned. Built on trust, dependable service, and real community values. Visit them on Highway 51 South or at MinocquaCars.com. With respiratory virus season rapidly approaching in Wisconsin, and levels of viruses like flu, COVID-19, and RSV increasing, it is very important to take steps to help keep illness from derailing your plans. Be sure to check the respiratory illness activity where you live, located at dhs.wisconsin.gov, and do your part to keep yourself and everyone around you healthy and safe. Thursday, October 23rd at 6 p.m., it's Christian Cold, retired DNR educator and wildlife technician. You're invited out to the Wisconsin Concrete Park for an insightful and educational presentation and to learn about our Wisconsin wildlife with a bonus session about the ethics and future of hunting, fishing, and trapping in our state. All ages are welcome, and this program is free and open to the public. Once again, this is taking place Thursday, October 23rd at 6 p.m. over at the Wisconsin Concrete Park in Phillips. If you have horses, you may want to consider protecting them against mosquito bites. Melissa Kay reports.
The state announced the first positive case of Eastern Equine Encephalitis, or EEE, on Friday. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection confirms the case of EEE in Marathon County in a 5-year-old colt. EEE and West Nile virus are only transmitted by mosquito bites and are not contagious between horses. These viruses can cause inflammation of the brain. According to the DATCP, EEE is fatal in most horses showing signs of illness. Confirmation of an infection in the state confirms the presence of EEE in the mosquito population. The virus can be transmitted to people and animals through an infected mosquito bite. Horses can be vaccinated for Eastern Equine Encephalitis and West Nile virus, and officials recommend reducing exposure to mosquitoes by keeping horses in the barn from dusk to dawn when mosquitoes are most active.
I'm Austin Bermain. This has been Civic Media News on 98Q Country. For more news, visit 98QCountry.com or civicmedia.us.
Minocqua Chevrolet is now 100% locally owned and proud to serve the Northwoods with reliable service and hometown values. Mark Biesterfeld of Minocqua Chevrolet is giving back for Breast Cancer Awareness Month. During October, he's donating $100 from every vehicle sold and $5 from every oil change to help fight breast cancer. Right now, select 2025 new Chevrolet vehicles are priced below GM employee pricing. Wear your pink proudly and hurry. Offer ends October 31st at Minocqua Chevrolet on Highway 51 South or at MinocquaCars.com.
The Packers outlast the Cards. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Arizona, where the Packers beat the Cardinals here last night, 27-23. The Packers substitute kicker, Lucas Haversick, set a new franchise record with a 61-yard field goal. Micah Parsons had 3 quarterback sacks in the game, the most in his career. Parsons also jumped off sides, allowing the Cardinals to stay alive, but Rashawn Gary able to force a fumble that Green Bay recovered.
The big play, the offsides by me, which is completely unacceptable. We got it right back when we came out and RG with the fumble, so that's the complimentary side. They mess up, make up for us, and we made up for them, and that's the good thing.
The road trip got off to a bad start when the team plane had to be grounded due to a mechanical problem. They didn't leave for Phoenix until 7 o'clock Saturday night.
Obviously, we already have a long, you know, plane ride, and then we were sitting basically on the terminal for about 5 or some hours.
That's Packers safety Xavier McKinney with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Big G, known for his big appetite and size 15 shoes, says there's no better place to eat this season than Lena's Northern Pines Resort on Butternut Lake. Open Wednesday through Saturday at 3:30, serving until 8 Wednesday and Friday and 9 on Saturday. Wednesday, buy one pizza, get the second half off. Thursday, crab leg feast with soup and salad bar. Friday, the famous fish fry. Saturday, barbecue pork bellies and prime rib. Delivery Friday and Saturday, 4 to 8. Cabin stays at lenasnorthernpines.net. Plus, visit Lena's Bar and Grill in Glidden.
No matter where you are in life, we're here for you. Marshfield Clinic primary care teams offer the kind of care you need, when and where you need it. Marshfield Clinic. Life is calling. Go with confidence.
Reliable, affordable energy is critical to progress and building resilient, connected, and prosperous communities. Enbridge's Line 5 is a vital link delivering raw materials that are processed into propane, fueling communities, industry, and businesses across Wisconsin. Energy that powers agricultural equipment and heats homes. To learn more, visit enbridge.com/L5WIS. Tomorrow is on.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Borbens. An unsettled start to the week with showers likely later this afternoon, mostly cloudy and breezy with highs near 60. Some evening showers, chilly, lows in the mid-30s. Showers again on Tuesday, still breezy, highs only in the mid-40s. Right now, it's 30.
So when there's a big jewelry heist, and the two things they mentioned in the jewelry heist that were involved was a blowtorch and a getaway scooter, do you instantly start to question the security around those pieces of jewelry? The Louvre or whatever that was.
The Louvre. So the Louvre is like one of the most prestigious museums in the world.
Yeah.
This is some Steve Martin Pink Panther level boneheadedness that's going on. I mean,
they escaped on scooters.
Oh, I mean, they probably played the Pink Panther theme over the speakers just to make it a little more fun, because they were obviously totally in control of that situation, they being the thieves.
Well, if they know they're on scooters, then they know that they're only a maximum number of miles away, right? You can only go so fast, right?
I mean, we have to determine whether they could have gotten to alternative transportation. I mean, like, you know, they could have ditched those scooters right outside the door and started sprinting and got away faster, Joel. They might have just took off on foot, and that's worse.
That's true. That's true. Well, the most horrifying day in school for most students is when your parents inform you that tomorrow is picture retake day, and you're going to have to go back. Try it again, because the first one didn't work out very well.
I don't think my parents believed in picture retakes.
you were hoping maybe they did. Huh?
Looking back, I didn't care at the time. See, that's the thing, Joel. Like, if I'd love to put my 30-year-old brain in my 8-year-old self, because I dress a lot different, first of all. That's like the starting point. It's like, you know what? We're going to not say a lot of things and wear some different clothes, and we're going to make some different decisions. But that's one of them, is like, I'm going to just try to compose myself on picture day. I love it, though. I'm for it. I stand by their decision to just go with the originals. The one time I think I got picture retakes was when I literally missed the actual.
I don't think there's a person alive that doesn't have one photo from your youth that a significant other in your life, and for guys it would be your wife, hasn't pointed out several times at some point and made a phrase similar to, what was going on there or something like
that.
I have one picture. I think it's in third or fourth grade where my wife said, were you going for the Star Trek look with those sideburns? Because I didn't have sideburns. I couldn't grow a beard until I was 30. But apparently I had hair growing in front of my ear that came to a point that she said, were you a Spock fan or what was going on there? So I'm not sure.
Well, there was a sweet spot, too. I love it when if you're about 60 or 70 years old right now, there's probably a pretty good picture of you out there that is the consequence of your mom giving you a hairdo that made you look a lot older than she thought it did. There was an era where 50s hairdos were put on kids in the 70s and 80s, and there was no way to look like you were less than 40 years old with any of those haircuts. So there's whole, and you know, because you're sitting on a shoebox full of these pictures, and you're grinning like a cheese ball into that camera, and it's a little bit blurry because it was an actual camera, not a digital, and you're cute and all, but you look 40. You look like you're on probation.
And you got a shoebox full of them because either you didn't want to give them out or no one else really wanted.
Exactly.
They're like, I'm good. I know what you look like. I don't need that.
Artificially or otherwise, the demand was kept low.
That's right. Picture retake day. Parents, good luck. Good luck with that. Well, the Brewer season ended with a bit of a thud Friday night, but I think after thinking about it, I watched the entire game, and I felt like I was watching history. I was felt like generations down the line, they'll talk about Shohei Ohtani and this playoff game. And I guess if a season's going to end, it hurts a little less, I think, for it to end when you can just say, you know what? They were just a better team, and it just wasn't going to happen. That wasn't really close, and you know, whatever, they're the Dodgers, and they spend $350 million. So it was what it was. Good season. I guess it wasn't meant to be.
I'm pretty sure that Shohei was just like, every time he took whether he was taking the mound or he was entering the batter's box, like when he was off the field, he was changing into Superman gear. You know, it's like we watched Clark Kent become Superman, and it's like, you know what? Can you even be mad? Can you even be tall building, single bound, faster than a locomotive? Like, what are you going to do?
At that
point, I'd rather lose to that, deity? Like, what was that on the baseball field yesterday? They called him Shohei, but that was,
yikes. First home run he hit to left to right center. I mean, Brian Anderson, the old Brewer announcer, the crack of the bat, and all he said was, goodness gracious, Shohei Ohtani. I mean, he never even said that might be, it could be. He just was instant awe mode right away.
Yep. It's beautiful. I think it's really cool when somebody does something better than it's ever been done. And I mentioned that on my show this morning. We're having the conversation. So whether the answer is yes or no, he's made the conversation worthy of happening, and that's cool. That's an opportunity. That's something we should cherish.
Yeah, and the exciting part is, maybe minus Brandon Woodruff or a pitcher, most of the core of this team on the offensive side and these young players, most of them are probably going to be back next year to run it back at least for one more year before the big markets come calling for some of these young players for big paydays. But Brewer fans should be excited. I think next year could be another fun run.
Yeah, hopefully so. There's opportunity, and it's good for new fans. If you're not a baseball fan and you think you might want to be someday, now's the time.
Yeah, exactly. In World Series, we might have Toby Ding Dong, our doorbell. Toby is alerting. It's the boss. I guess we better shape up now. The Brewer season comes to an end. You're home with Brewer baseball right here again next year. And I hate to keep talking about the NFL, but it seems to be there's just so many things about it. And I was thinking about this yesterday, the fact that has Josh Allen's window closed already? The Bills team that's around him, I don't think, is as good as it was the last couple of years. He's still Josh Allen, but I don't think the team he has around him is as good as the last couple of years. I think it's rapidly closing, and with the Chiefs seeming to rev it up a little bit now and maybe returning to what they were the last few years, Josh Allen could be our modern-day Dan Marino here.
Could be. He'll have to prove that he can do even more to carry a team. If you look at their strength of schedule, it's almost non-existent. Their wins have come against teams with a combined 3 wins total, I believe. Basically, they only beat the losers, which means they're the tallest among the short. You know, they can beat all the bad teams, but they can't beat any of the good ones or even some of the mediocre ones. And that, I remember, is what happens when you have nothing but a great quarterback. Look at the 2018 Packers. years. I mean, if it weren't for Davante Adams, we'd look a lot like the Bills do this year. And last season, the big talk was, does he have the supporting cast? Yeah, James Cook is there, but one quarterback and a running back do not a whole offense make. And his receivers, I might qualify to crack the bottom of that roster. So, like, he needs a better supporting cast. He cannot win on his own, and they're starting to show it.
Yeah, exactly. And we talked about the NFC, AFC. The AFC is has got just, I got one team right now. And I guess it's the Chiefs now that are pretty good over there. How about the life of an NFL kicker? This Packer, was McManus, was he kicking yesterday?
No,
or he was
no,
still
Haversick
out?
Did.
He was still out, yeah.
Lucas Haversick kicked a Packers record 61-yarder yesterday.
Franchise record. You know, and the distance of field goals is just absurd. And a lot of people don't realize they did change the rule in the NFL that kickers kind of have their own ball now that they use when they go in and and kick. So that is, I think that's benefited the kickers. And there's no doubt that's benefited the kickers and made them be able to kick longer field goals. But I was watching the Packer game with some friends yesterday, and that young man hit a 61-yard field goal.
Yep.
And if you're not paying attention, folks, 60-yarders are not uncommon. The Vikings kicker had a 62-yarder
Brandon
yesterday.
Aubrey.
And it's just, it's not even news anymore. Until someone hits a 70, it's not news anymore.
Correct. Cowboys kicker Brandon Aubrey, I believe, set the record for most 60-plus-yard field goals in a season yesterday, in Week 7.
Yeah.
And just to be clear, it's not that they gave him a new kicking ball. They've actually had the new kicking ball for about 20 years now. It's that they allowed teams to prepare that kicking ball
The preparation
in a
much
wider window. Yeah, it used to be you got about an hour before the game to prepare your kicking ball. And I mean, these equipment managers had some crazy things that they would spend that hour doing. Soaking them in mud, hitting them with buffing wheels. Like, seriously, they were doing everything they could to break these things in. But you just cannot replace time and actual impact when it comes to softening the fibers of the ball and such. So what the NFL did this year was they actually gave all teams, I mean, circling back, it was you get your kicking ball an hour before the game. I think there's like 3 to 5 of them that you get, and you can only use those ones during that game with that hour of prep. Now, they gave them their kicking balls, all of them for the season.
Like 60 of them or
60
something.
60 of them
I
per
think it
team.
Was. Yep.
And it was weeks before the season. And they could start prepping them that day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're seeing what happens when the equipment managers, instead of having 1 hour to prep, have a couple months. And the confidence in kickers is absurd. Also, I mentioned this on Make the Call, our new Saturday morning Civic Media Network sports program. This is going to cause a resurgence in bad kickers getting better. There's going to be all kinds of guys. Braden Narveson, you remember that kicker the Packers had out there for the beginning of all last year?
Certainly.
He might be an NFL caliber kicker now because of the new K-balls. There's a whole list of guys who have failed who could do it now.
Yeah,
and there's 60, I maintain.
And you may question, say, well, why do they need 60? Well, sometimes you kick a ball and it ends up whatever. It might some guy might grab it short of the goal line and take it for a touchdown. Ends up in the crowd. You got to be ready for a second, third, and many balls. But there's no doubt that that's a huge part. And you don't even see it. They don't talk about it. I haven't heard one announcer during a broadcast talk about it, and you don't even see it happen. You know, when there's a field goal, you don't see the exchange of the ball. Obviously, there's a process there. There's got to be one referee designated to what ball do you want to give me your ball? Give me the ball you want to use, and they bring it out. And then, of course, if it ends up being a fake field goal, then of course that kicker is probably like, hey. I want that ball back.
Yeah.
Give me that ball back, please.
And actually, that's something Dad and I were talking about that yesterday. My dad was asking me, he said, it's been a long time since I've seen a fake field goal. And I thought of it, and I was like, yeah, probably because people are just going for it more. And then I Googled it, and that is like 100, that's the whole answer. Because if you're going for a fake field goal, that's like pretending you're not going for the yardage isn't the case anymore. You got Dan Campbell out there just like, it's 3 yards. We're just going to grab it from you, even though you know we're going to try. You know, it's easier to steal 3 yards from a team who knows you're trying than to fake them out in the first place.
One final topic on the gray area here, Joel and Gray.
You're kicking me out?
Was the Vikings yesterday did something that I'm sure a lot of teams are looking at, and that was they were trying to they took a different philosophy for stopping the tush push by Philadelphia. And if you see, there was one time that Philadelphia ran the tush push where the Vikings took a defensive lineman and actually lined him up horizontally to the line where he was like, so that you got the center with the ball and his body was like left to right in front of the center.
Yep.
So that was put there, from what I understand, to prevent Jalen. Jalen Hurts likes to take the snap, and he likes to go like down left or down right. It just instantly gets a yard. So he's like going a bull. So the purpose of that laying of the lineman right there was to hopefully just stop Jalen Hurts just a little bit from that low plunge, so then the lineman could then kind of lift him up and push him back. It didn't work. I thought it did initially from the way that the tush push happened. You could just see the flow of the line, but then when they did the replay, you could see that Jalen Hurts actually kind of jumped over the legs of the lineman who laid down, which, by the way, that hurt to be that lineman on the bottom. But there are teams that are now trying different strategies against a tush push, and laying a lineman vertically across the line, I thought was pretty unique.
Well, I agree, except that it's the second time I've seen it.
Okay.
The Chiefs tried it last year, and they failed too. But that tells me that there's levels of creativity happening, and when guys like Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator for the Vikings, and guys like Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs, when they start trying weird stuff, that's when the NFL starts changing. When you've got something the Eagles are creating whatever is coming right now. There's going to be a change in maybe the rules about how defense works. Maybe we'll be able to start pushing defenders to counterpose the tush-push offense. That might be, because that's what I think the Chiefs did last year. They lined Chris Jones sideways right in front of the center, and I think they tried to push him into the offense with, like, two guys, but they got penalized for it,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, exactly. I still like the I still like the philosophy of taking a little person and just throwing them over the line. That was something that was brought up actually a couple months ago, and there were a lot of little people that said, I'd do it. How much you want to pay me? Throw me over the line. It would be a legal play, by the way. So don't, I'm just saying, I'm not. Becky Carden is celebrating a birthday today. You didn't want to comment on it.
That's a relative of mine, by the way.
Oh, Becky, happy birthday to you. And
happy birthday, Becky.
All right. And we've got Julie Thompson also, who is celebrating today. Jenny. Let us know about that. So, Julie, I have a tendency to blow off birthdays here during the gray area. What a beautiful weekend it was, huh? It was pretty darn nice to be out and about. Looks like we might have another one coming up this weekend. We're very excited. This Thursday, Gray, is the day of giving for His House of Hope. 12 hours of informing and hopefully people giving. So we're looking forward to that big day on Thursday.
I am indeed. I'm going to be a tired boy. We'll figure out one way or the other. I'll have the cot and sleeping bag ready here for a midday nap. But 12 hours straight, it always, I was blown away by how fast that went last year.
Yeah,
so we're gonna burn up some clock and hopefully help a worthy cause.
There's a real nice video on the His House of Hope Facebook page that Tammy Hastings did, kind of that gives you a running start as to what it's all about, His House of Hope. One more birthday.
One more birthday indeed. Happy birthday to Aunt Bev Furman. That was yesterday. And happy birthday from your niece, Linda. We'll make sure Aunt Bev gets in for that drawing that Joel does every Friday morning. And briefly, I just wanted to mention Becky Carden, happy birthday. Yes, a relative of mine, but that's not the reason I wanted to shout her out, for being a super awesome, loyal listener. If we're doing anything, if we're doing a text to win, I see her name. If we are giving back to the community, I see Becky physically here. Double extra special shout out to you, Becky. And no, not because you're family, but that's a nice bonus too.
Yeah, so happy birthday to all of you. We'll put you in for the cake drawing, which comes up on Friday. By the way, if you want to get a head start on the His House of Hope fundraiser, there's a real cool video again at the Facebook page, so check that out, and that'll kind of jumpstart the whole thing. All right, we gone. Thank you, Gray.
Well, you're here. I'm gone. Bye.
Well, I'm here for another hour or so.
You're stuck.
Gray will be in this afternoon. No more Brewers, or we get to full shifts now.
Yeah, I got, this is the work portion of the year.
Yeah, they put the whole thing in. McKay in the midday after 10. We've got news to come in just a moment here on 98Q Country.
Save big money when you shop at Menards. Highlight your home's beauty.